97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, Kurt Heelan's going to join us coming up here in just a moment. Live here at RGS Exteriors. In fact, Kurt Heelan joins us right now on the Rain Gutter Guest Line. It's no secret that Utah's in an extreme drought. That's why Smart Rain is the solution for any commercial property concerned about water consumption and irrigation. Find out more at smartrain.net. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Kurt.
I'm doing well. How's it going, guys?
Good. I tell you what, still enjoying every moment of that game last night because it was a fun one. Finally, we get a really close game that goes down to the wire, and now we get a debate what's the best defensive play in NBA Finals history after that block on the alley-oop.
That was one of the most amazing physical plays you've ever seen, just right? Like, tracking that, getting up, shutting down a strong 7-foot guy. This wasn't like you blocked some guard. It was a physically just an amazing play, and I think what's been good for whatever happens in this series, Giannis never has had that, the cultural cachet of some of the other big-name superstars, of Kevin Durant or even Steph Curry or James Harden or a bunch of guys. Like, he just doesn't have that casual fan cachet. He doesn't have he hadn't been on the biggest stages, doesn't have the endorsements and all that. I think this starts to change that. I think people get a real glimpse of what he does well and what makes him an amazing player.
A little bit worried. There's some concern. He did leave the game a bit early. Have we got to the bottom of what happened there, Kurt?
Not that I have heard yet. I know that there was some concern about his leg. I am not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. There's a couple guys. Chris Paul seemed to be rubbing his knees a lot last night. I mean, I think a lot of that is just Drew Holiday hounding him for 94 feet. But, it's something to watch. I haven't heard anything. There's been nothing official yet. And the problem is this time of year, it's really hard, especially with the distance between the media and the team. It's just really hard to get a sense of what's real and what's not. And this time of year, teams are, you know, and they've gone full on 1980 hockey, you know. It's a lower leg injury type of stuff on the it's really hard to read what's actually going on. Kawhi Leonard had a torn, you know, partially torn ACL. But, yeah, it's a sprain. He's fine. Like, he might play, you know.
The Drew Holiday and his ability to hound Chris Paul certainly seems to be a nice adjustment. And certainly something that if he can continue that and continue to hound Chris Paul seems to be one of the things that has been working for Milwaukee. What else have you seen that the Bucks have been able to do to try to really slow down Phoenix after they went up 2-0?
They've done a better job dealing with the pick and roll. They struggled a little with it yesterday. Again, they kept Chris Paul out of trouble. Their size allows them, even when, you know, again, you know, oh, they're playing small. They don't have Brook Lopez out there. Giannis is 7 foot and stupid athletic, and they've got these other big guys. So they don't play small in the traditional sense, and that allows them to keep Ayton. You can't, you know, there's not a bunch of 6'8 guys out there that you can just start lobbing to Ayton over the top of. There's guys with enough length to really disrupt that. PJ Tucker's not that tall, but good luck moving him. So I think that they're able to disrupt Ayton a little, and then it just comes down to, you know, when Booker gets hot like he did in this game, they have a chance to steal stuff, but they're going to need a lot more. They need more out of Chris Paul and Ayton, ideally, but they're going to need a lot more Booker in this series because he's the one guy who's really, you know, they've had Middleton on him. They've put Holiday on him for stretches. They don't really have a good matchup for him. I'm not sure there's a great matchup for him.
I'm trying to picture who it was that Booker grabbed. I think it might have been Drew, but it would have been his sixth and final, and he would have been put on the bench. Is that a case of official swallowing the whistle, not wanting to boot the bigger star on the court?
I think so. I have no idea how that was not a foul. And again, like Tucker got one on the high five foul on Ayton, on Crowder, where Crowder shot the corner three. You actually are allowed on those plays to, if you don't connect bodies and the ball is released and you touch the guy's hand, it's called the high five, it's allowed. The hand is part of the ball. And if he's released it and you kind of just catch his hand a little on the follow through, that's not supposed to be a foul. They got a couple of those. Jay Crowder earned an Emmy last night with his with his acting performances at points. But I think so. I think in the case of Booker, I mean, I just don't know how. I don't have another explanation for that not being a foul. That was that. I get that the in general, they you don't want to take the star off the court, and so you let some borderline stuff go. But guys, I don't think that was borderline. That was pretty clearly a foul.
Yeah, no doubt. Kurt Helin from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com joining us. And now the series is all square. Home court seems to be holding suit throughout the course of this series. You go back to Phoenix. And with these, I hate saying small market, but, you know, it has more of a collegiate-like feel to it at some of these arenas. And it seems like home court really plays a strong part. Do you anticipate Phoenix winning Game 5 and then this thing shifting back to Milwaukee with the Suns up 3-2?
I kind of think so. I mean, as much as I think the Bucks have figured some stuff out and you know, done some stuff right, I thought the Suns did a lot of things right. They have to keep the Bucks out of transition. They've got to turn them into a half-court offense, which they did a pretty good job of last night, honestly. The Bucks only, like, I think it was 12.4% of their possessions started in transition, which is, you know, they want to be up closer to 20% when they're thriving, because when Giannis is playing downhill in transition, you're doomed, whether he's kicking it out or scoring. They did a good job of that, and Middleton was – when all that happens, it becomes Middleton's job to make them pay. And Holiday. Holiday struggled. They weren't hitting their threes. Middleton saved them last night. But I thought the Suns did so much stuff right, and I think that if they replicate that at home – you know, there was a couple times, right, where they got up 7 or 9, and you're like, uh-oh. They just need a couple more buckets, like a stop and a bucket or two, and this thing's to 11 or 13, and blow it open might be the wrong term, but like they're going to make this gap too big to make up. And they turn the ball over, or they'd get sloppy, and I don't think they do that at home.
What's interesting to me is watching Milwaukee and their starters shoot 3 of 21 from 3 and 24% as a team, and P.J. Tucker gives you 0 points, and Milwaukee still wins. So that tells me that Milwaukee's probably still got more of the tank to take the Phoenix if they need it.
I think they figured out what they need to do. It limited Brook Lopez. I mean, the advantage they have of Giannis at the 5 and using him as a – they finally went back to it late in the game. Giannis is a screener for Holiday or Middleton. That's devastating, right? Like, there's a role guy you might want to have trouble stopping. So, and then if you can get just some shooting, I mean, Connaughton hit at least a big one down the stretch, but just some shooting. I think the Bucks are the better team, but I still don't, with two games still to come in Phoenix, I'm not convinced the Bucks can win this thing. Even if I think they are slightly the better team.
Kurt Helin right here on the Zone Sports Network as we get ready for not only the NBA Finals in game number 5, but you've got the Olympics coming up, and we'll talk more about your concern level for Team USA. But the one thing that's kind of jumped out at me as you look at Milwaukee, you got 3 players that were over 40 minutes, some over 42 minutes in that game last night. I know these guys are finely tuned athletes and they're relatively young, but does that start to take a toll on guys throughout a 7-game series?
A little bit, but less so in the finals because there's longer breaks between games. It's when it was the conference finals and it was every other day, you could see it start to wear on teams. I think the Clippers were the most obvious example where for a full month they were every other day, and by the end you could see, you know, Paul George was putting balls off the front of the rim. It gets to guys. In the finals where, yeah, they're playing a lot of minutes, but now they don't play again until Saturday. They get a couple days off. One of them's a travel day, but they get some extra rest and recuperation in there. It's less of an issue, I think. Now, one thing to look forward to, by the way, or think about, it's every 3 days except for Game 7. Game 6 will be next Tuesday. Game 7, if it happens, would be Thursday. There's a one-day break because they have to get it done before the Olympics opening ceremonies. So they don't have to, but they really would prefer not to match up with that on television. So that one-day break, it'll be interesting. It's like you have to start thinking about, in the middle of Game 6, does the coach have to think about keeping guys fresh for 2 days from then?
Well, Kurt, we continue to have issues with this Olympic team and some bad news coming down this morning as Bradley Beal entered into protocol with COVID, and now it's just announced that Jeremy Grant has been put into protocol. So does that mean they cannot participate in the Olympics, and what happens if they can't?
First off, Grant apparently did not test positive, so this is he was in contact, whether it was Beal or somebody else. I'm shocked, by the way, that you can get COVID in Vegas. I just assumed that there would be everything would be fine. If Beal tested positive, I would think that he might be out. They would pull up one of the guys who's been with the team through the select team process. They bring in all the young stars from around the league, and three of them have been up with the team. Darius Garland would make a lot of sense because it's a similar position. You plug him in. They've kept these guys with them because there's three guys, Holiday, Booker, and Middleton are all still playing in the finals, so they haven't caught up to Team USA yet. So they've had these three other guys. I think that they just keep one of them. But, I mean, it does hurt. Bradley Beal is a it's not exactly secret. Bradley Beal can light it up, man. Like, Bradley Beal could just go get you buckets. That will be missed. I mean, the ability to create matchup issues would be nothing against Darius Garland or whoever they would keep on the roster in that case. They're not going to pull somebody new in. They're just going to pull one of select guys. But it's still a downgrade.
So there's obviously concern. You lose back-to-back games to the teams that they lost to, and we had Joe Ingles on this morning, and don't think he wasn't taking a victory lap around that exhibition win. But with that said, there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, look, it's exhibition. It's going to be fine. As you mentioned, you got three players coming in, and Drew can help out with your perimeter defense, and Booker gives you another scoring threat. Where's your concern level about this team winning a gold medal here in a couple weeks?
It's simmering. It's not like full level boil. I'm not reaching for the panic button, but the red flags are up. Like they have not looked good enough defensively. Let me rephrase it. They did against Argentina, but Argentina has the only current NBA player on that roster, I think, is Campazzo, who's not it's a little different than our, I think we get a better test again on Friday night against another game against Australia where, they get a roll out a deeper, better team. Their defense hasn't been sharp enough. And part of what they've done when they've thrived is just shut everybody down defensively, right? Like, they're just these great athletes. And then they turn those into transition points, because while the rest of the world have skill guys and the skill level is up, they just don't have the depth of athletes we can roll out. But we haven't seen that from them. And so we'll see if they've started to look more cohesive as a unit. If we start to see more of that defense on Friday night, and then I don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday when they turn around again and play against Spain.
Kurt Elan right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I tell you what, though, that Australian team, that's a really likable team. Like, I know we're supposed to be rooting for America, but you look at that team, that's a fun team to watch.
Patty Mills is the Giannis Antetokounmpo once it gets to international ball, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That guy just steps up in international play and has for years. It's not just like, wow, he had a good game. And he's always been an international force. And they are. They moved the ball. They played smart. You can also, both them and Nigeria, who just has not only like seven NBA players, but they had a longer run-up in training camp when the U.S. had been together 4 or 5 days before that scrimmage. You could see the cohesion. Right, you could see that especially with Australia, you could see that these guys have played in these kind of competitions with each other in some, the core of them in some form for 5 years, 8 years, whatever it is, and they just know, like there's a comfortableness with he's going to be here and I got to get him the ball here. Oh, he's going to read that and make this cut. That's just not there with Team USA right now, where they're still clearly they're playing next to each other and not with each other. And that's the thing that they are going to, that's really the hardest thing to get together, but it's really what they need, because the margin for error for Team USA just isn't there anymore. Like, the rest of the world is too good for for us to just roll out the basketball and win. There's, we don't get to play 1992 Angola again. Like, the teams are good.
Hey, Kurt, before we let you go, can you kind of build a timeline for Jazz fans on when they could possibly expect an announcement from either the Jazz or Mike Conley in a contract or some type of movement?
I doubt it would probably be pretty close to August 1st around then. I mean, they can do this whenever in theory. And I'm sure that there's been some conversations, but it's a weird, it's another thing that's a weird year, but the draft comes up on the 29th, right? 29th is the draft.
Yeah.
And everybody's focus is kind of there. There's obviously going to be trades and player movement then. And then I think after that, they'll try to get it done pretty quickly. Free agency opens August 1st, and I would think in early August they'll figure out what they're going to do and how they're going to make, you know, whatever the number ends up being, whatever they're going to do, I think you'll see that announcement then, and I'm sure there's conversations going on. But the Jazz's front office right now has to be thinking more. They just have to be more draft-focused. They've got to get their final prep in, and again, right now there's just everybody's talking trades, but there's just everybody's blowing smoke. It's a Cypress Hill concert out there right now. There's just smoke everywhere.
That might be your best line all in quite some time. I love it. Hey, well, certainly appreciate it. Always fun catching up with you, Kurt, and look forward to talking to you again here next week.
Take care, guys.
Thank you, Kurt. We are here at one of our favorite places to be.
Yes, RGS Exteriors right here on the Zone Sports Network. And you know what? There's so many opportunities for people to take care of their house, to get it into a situation where they love their house. And they think, well, you know what? Maybe we should just sell and then go buy our dream house. And then they look at the market right now. And sure, you might make a little bit of money when you sell the house, but what are the chances of actually finding that house that you want? So why not make your current home your dream home? You got a little bit of equity in your home right now. Let's put it to good use and get the house you want.
That's right. For the cost of what you're going to be able to redo your home, it's going to be a fraction of what buying a new home. So update it. Make it the house you want. Give it the front, the all the way around. Make it the house you want. We can do that for you.
I actually love that idea, Scotty. I think it's great. I mean, so many people out there start to get antsy and uncomfortable with where they are. Go, just walk out to the front sidewalk and turn around and look at your house and look at the bushes and shrubs that are in the front, but also look at what do you have, a vinyl siding? Do you have brick? Do you want stone? Would you like a different color? Maybe you like a different type of gutter that runs, that kind of accentuates the front part of the house. But Greg, that's the point. You can build that look from the curb that you want, and it can totally, you know, you pull up from a long day's of work and you're looking at that house like, oh, yes, it's something new and something fresh.
Yeah, that's especially with the market right now. You can redo the front of your house to give you that perfect look, as opposed to, you know, going upside down, and the median house prices has just gone up so much that we can come out. I mean, you're not even have to be stuck. You got brick. You don't want brick. We can take it down.
Yeah.
Put up hardy, change brick to a stone. And that's the great thing with that visualizer is, if you're not sure, let us show you and make it exactly the way you want it.
You bought a house that was built in the 90s and it has stucco, and you want to say, look, it's time to get into this century. Let's go. And you guys can make that happen.
Yeah, a lot of people get intimidated with the exterior of their houses. Oh, I don't want to open up a wall, or I don't want to pull out a window and get rid of that arch window that I hate, that I can't find blinds for. It's not that hard. We can come in, pull out your window, frame in the walls, square things off, give it you a more modern look, give it that look that you wanted but you settled for not getting.
Oh, the arch window. A lot of fun. Always looked nice, but never fun to deal with. Do you have arch window? Arch windows?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love that too, Greg. It's like, what do you have, something you want to fix, something that you want to look different, or something that just is not functional? Then let RGS come in and fix that. You guys can do that, and you do it quickly.
We did. We had a whole house in Draper that had a bunch of arch windows all throughout the house. And, like, we just took – that was all we did, was we did the windows and the siding on the front of the house, and it took his house and gave it a 30-year uplift.
That's
wow.
Awesome.
That's awesome. 801-280-3110, RGS Exteriors, 801-280-3110, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Joe Ingles, join us.
Australia has finished fourth four times, the best country that's never medaled. With this storyline and with you being so invested in the national team going to your fourth Olympics, I'm thinking you're way more locked in on this than most Jazz fans realize.
Yeah, I really am. I've put too much time and effort into this to not give myself and my team and my country and my family and my kids a chance to bring this medal home. And we've built this thing to what it is now, and we've put so much time and effort into this and been so invested. It's why we've played every offseason for 12 years now. And we believe in our team and what we can do when we get to Tokyo.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. 360! It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard.
Really quick, I know we got to get into this 911 audio, and we will, but is this okay? What's just happened to my buddy?
Oh, no.
Well, he's only 44 or 45. He's my age. So he went into a lunch buffet.
Yeah.
And didn't mention his age or anything, and the lady rung him up as a senior.
So he gets a little bit of a discount.
Yeah, he gets a discount, but
he gets labeled a senior.
Yeah, but he's kind of heartbroken about it.
It's not worth the $1.75 he saved on his buffet.
He's heartbroken about it because he's our age.
Okay, what are you doing, Hans?
Yep,
you
yep.
get it. You're the cheapest man I know. You get that extra discount. Are you going to take it?
Hans keeps a walker in his back of his truck.
Some tennis balls on. No, I'm not going to argue against it, Lloyd.
Amanda, hand me that
cane.
So
you'll be fine with it.
You have a picture of him?
What is the senior? Like, what is the age?
I think 50? It's like 55?
58?
Well, like the official one where you actually can retire and get benefits is like 82. No, I'm joking, but kind of. It's like 67, I want to say. So I would say late 50s, early 60s.
See, so my father just turned 61, and I think he just barely started taking advantage of it.
He doesn't look old. 60 years old, apparently, is your standard age to get stuff at a...
Maybe the person just was like, oh, well, I'm going to give you a break.
Maybe they were being friendly, and he's shooting the bull and making her laugh a little bit. She's like, you know what? I'm gonna hook this dude up a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't be like, I'm not a senior. Here's my extra
$3. Here's my extra $3.
How dare you? I'd be like, oh, but I would sit there and inside of my full gluttony of consuming the buffet, I would feel even more poor about myself.
Yeah, but once you get into that soft serve, you're good. You're not even thinking about it anymore.
I don't know, man.
Let's see a 60-year-old put down this much soft serve.
The 17-year-old girl just assumed I was 60. That's not exactly making me chipper.
We'll say when you hang around your kids' friends, there's nothing that makes you feel older.
Oh, man. Isn't that the truth? Except for when you beat them in arm wrestling.
I can't do that anymore. Stop.
Sports Roulette brought to you by Davis Vision. You get $1,000 off LASIK. Call right now, 801-253-3080. That's the number to call, 801-253-3080, or online at davisvisionmd.com. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
.911 call.
So this is the call in which the ex-wife of Richard Sherman placed to the King County Police Department in regards to Richard Sherman and trying to, well, some of the situations that were going on at his house.
I need officers to my house now. My husband is drunk and blithering.
Stop. What's the address? Are there any weapons? Stop.
There's no gun. I'm saying there are no weapons, ma'am. There are no weapons.
You need to stop interrupting me so I can get the information. I need to get officers expedited.
I need officers here now.
What's he doing that you think he's going to harm himself?
He's being aggressive. He has sent text messages. I took the keys out. They're in your car. He's trying to leave now in the house. He's being aggressive. He's wrestling with my uncle. He's threatening to kill himself. He has sent text messages to people saying he's going to hang himself. He's saying that if the police show up, so please don't shoot is what I'm asking.
Okay, wait. Say that again.
He said if the police show up, that he'll try to fight them. So they need to understand that he is.
Okay. Has it been physical with anybody there? You said he's trying to fight your uncle?
Yes, it has.
How has it been physical?
He just tried to fight him.
Okay, trying to fight somebody and actually being physical is two different things. How has it been physical?
It's a 2016 black Mercedes. Richard, please stop. Richard, please stop. Please stop.
Is that a sedan, SUV?
It's just a black sedan, Mercedes, SUV.
Okay.
He's not going to be able to get out the gate. I cut it off.
What do you mean you cut it off?
I cut the gate. We live behind it. It's Richard Sherman. Like, ma'am, this is like a emergency. I need officers
here
now.
Listen to me. I'm handling this. You need to stop telling me that.
Okay, but what I'm
not going to slow help down.
Okay, well, what I need to know is that he's...
What's your name?
My name is Ashley Sherman.
Do you know what his date of birth is?
3/30/88.
Okay, slow down so I can understand you. What's the date of birth?
March 30th, 1988.
That's just the tip of the iceberg of that call.
How are we not trained better with our 911 calls?
And by the way, whoever that Lloyd pulled that off the web, the longer version makes the 911 operator look about 100 times worse than that, too. Like, whoever edited that was doing a favor to the 911 operator because she was...
What else did she do that...
Well, just condescending and, like, really just, like, pat, pat, pat. Oh, really? Really? It's getting violent out there? It just was really condescending and not trusting. And it just... even her, like, oh, really? You have a gate to your house? You know, not buying that and saying, hey, be quiet. Listen. You know, it just... was really handled poorly by the 911 operator.
Just that 3 minutes that I just listened to just turns my guts.
Yeah. I mean, here's a woman desperately trying to get some help.
You can hear the anxiety that is going across that phone line. She is in full panic, thinking that her husband or ex-husband or whatever is going on, it might kill himself.
Yeah.
And she's even expressing to them, it might be by police suicide. Which is a common thing.
And it's not like the operator couldn't quite figure out what that is.
It's like, how do you not understand? Like, that is that happens often. People will charge the officers with something that looks like a weapon so that they can go down that way. And she's saying, please don't shoot. If you come, understand, he said he's going to fight. So, and she's like, well, what do you mean? What does that mean? Well, what did he even do to your uncle? I can't believe how poorly this individual's trained. These 911 receptionists or whatever, they're dispatchers, I guess they're
operators.
Operators. They are taking people at their very worst moment in their life. And the level of training has to be better than this. This is horrible. If that was my, I don't want to be my wife because I'd be the one having the issue. But if, let's say, my wife was having that type of interaction with a 911 operator, whether it was, you know, somebody is lying dead or half dead on the floor, and that's how she's being received and handled by the operator. Oh, man. Is this woman receiving a lot of national criticism?
There's a lot of heavy criticism. Now, her name, as far as I know, they have not released her name. And there's a lot of media criticism going towards the radio station that acquired the 911 call and has played it. I mean, it's public information. But with that said, I think it's important to know the background of the entire story and know what's going on. This is a public figure. This is someone who is threatening and doing some really, really rough stuff. And so at that point, we've got to find a way to figure out what's going on to get the full side of the story. And this was not Richard Sherman sounds like is in a pretty bad place and certainly needs some help.
Horrifying. I mean, the guy ends up in a back and forth with officers, and officers are telling him that they're going to take him into custody. And at that point, he turns and starts to walk away and then starts to walk quicker. And they have to let the police dog loose to try to apprehend him.
Yeah.
And the police dog ended up taking down Richard Sherman. I mean, just the vision of that, because of the – there might be a lot of people that aren't a fan of Richard Sherman. I am a fan of Richard Sherman, not just the player. I'm actually a fan of the advocate and the voice and the charisma and everything Richard is. He's a full entertainer. Now, I'm not saying that I agree with everything he's fought for over the years or fought against over the years, but I am a fan of who he is. And to picture him being taken down by a police dog, to picture his wife being handled like this with an operator in a moment where I think he was sincere about potentially taking his life.
Yeah, I do too.
And you could hear it in his significant other's voice. And to have it handled like this is so unacceptable to me.
Yeah.
I would like to hear it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
He's not going to be able to get out the gate. I cut it off.
What do you mean you cut it off?
I cut the gate. We live behind it. It's Richard Sherman. Like, ma'am, this is like a emergency. I need officers here
listen
now.
Listen to me. I'm handling this. You need to stop telling me that.
Okay,
talking
but what I'm
not going to slow help down.
He's
talking to me is not going to slow help down.
Okay. Well, what I need to know is that he.
What's your name?
My name is Ashley Sherman.
Do you know what his date of birth is?
3/30/88.
Okay, just slow down so I can understand you. What's the date of birth?
March 30th, 1988.
You need an ambulance there? You said it was physical.
No, we don't need an ambulance.
Okay. And he does not have any weapons or access to weapons?
No. No.
Okay, and how much has he had to drink tonight?
Two bottles.
Two bottles of what?
Ma'am.
A vodka
ma'am.
And Hennessy.
Okay, hard alcohol.
It's alcohol. Okay. He's intoxicated.
Okay, sir. I'm only going to talk to one person, so please put the phone down and talk
to
Ashley.
Look, okay, is the sheriff on the way?
Okay, listen, it's over on dispatch, okay? Talking to me is not going to slow anything else down.
Man, that is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
To hear somebody's most desperate moment be responded to and received that way. And I'm not saying I'm not expecting perfection, but
it's somebody's one of their worst moments of their life to be as condescending as that is just it's just beyond words.
There's
honestly.
Sheer panic in that home.
Yes.
Holy cow, that shakes my nerves. Makes me really angry towards her because of the significance of the situation. And whether it was Richard Sherman or it was somebody I've never heard of, having a woman spoken to like that, I guess I could break it down and try to understand. Is the operator doing her best? I'm trying to see it from her point of view, why she would kind of bark back and tell her and stop her. And I don't know. I'm trying to look at it from her point of view.
And I'm sure it's not an easy job because you've got to take control of a situation, but also do it in a way where you feel like you're supporting whoever is calling in, because they're calling in, as we mentioned, in one of their worst moments of their life. You're calling in 911. Hopefully, you're only using 911 in a serious emergency. You're panicked. You're in a bad place. And this 911 operator needs to take control of a situation, make sure you get the right information, make sure people are going where they need to go, but also do it in a way where you feel like, hey, I got your back. Let's get you taken care of. So I know I can't imagine how hard that job is to be able to walk that line, but also do it in such a way. But whatever this person's doing, they're missing badly.
And that's too bad that the station is receiving criticism for getting the phone call. I mean, it is a public situation. That's why they make these public. Well, that's too bad, man. I would imagine there's going to be a reprimand coming for that.
I would imagine. All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Joe Ingles was on with DJ and PK. You'll hear part of that conversation coming up at 1:05 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on the Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Live here at RGS Exteriors. Hey, by the way, apparently you got a shout-out in the governor's press conference today. Reference your tweet about your buddy. And yeah. He said, and he referenced that tweet by referring to you as prominent radio host Hans Olsen.
Dang. You know what that doesn't have on it is tagged Utah Broadcaster of the Year.
Oh, I'm not. Hey, winner. There's no jealousy here.
No, man. There is from on my end.
Yeah, but at least he used a name. Remember when Gordon like just said...
Yeah, the broadcaster.
Broadcaster. Yeah, I don't even know if he said Utah State broadcaster.
No, it was about the Craig Smith story, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, and he just called you the broadcaster.
He said, the broadcaster.
I'm glad that he threw prominent out there.
That's
I think it was
nice.
Just like team like broadcaster.
I'm glad that he's referencing that tweet.
Now, that tweet, I'd like to think that tweet did some good out there.
I hope so. There's a part of me that wants to get his wife on air as he sits on a ventilator. They're trying to get him out of paralysis right now. His body is just really shut down. His kidneys were quitting, so they had to start dialysis to try to get his kidneys to work, and that's been really difficult for the family. Just the trauma of the unknown. It's so hard to see somebody who is on a ventilator that's put into a coma or paralysis, as they call it. And you're watching somebody that you love dearly and you're thinking to yourself, how preventable is this?
Yeah.
We've got a vaccine. I mean, I'm talking to my very good buddy who is a very prominent medical personnel, and he is telling me I am seeing a lot of COVID people and positive tests.
No, it's
I am not seeing any that are coming through with vaccinations. He said, now I've got some friends that are seeing vaccinated people come through with COVID or a positive test, but their effects are minimum.
Yeah.
Minimal.
And there's what do they call them? The breakthrough cases. There's it's happening. It's not happening on a regular basis, but there are some people that have been fully vaccinated that are still getting COVID. But the symptoms are significantly less. Hospitalization is extremely rare. Death, I think there has been one fatality here in the state of Utah since the vaccinations have come out that the person was fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
So that is insanely rare.
Yeah.
And look, and we talked about this yesterday too. There's a lot of athletes out there that are here in the state of Utah that are not getting vaccinated, and their demographic is such that if they get it, they're high chance they're going to be just fine, and that it's not going to bother them at all, but still they're spreading it. And number two, the NCAA, if you're not vaccinated, the NCAA will still demand regular testing. And if you test positive and you bring it into that locker room with a lot of other unvaccinated players, you're all going to miss games and your team might end up missing games. That's going to be a storyline this year. It's still going to happen in college football with some of these under-vaccinated teams. And you can be anti-vax all you want. I get it. There's people out there that say, I don't want to do it. I don't feel comfortable doing it, and I don't want to do it. And that's your right. But just know that the NCAA doesn't care. They're still going to be testing you, and if you get it, even if you don't have any symptoms whatsoever, you're still missing time.
Also, just know that the science is showing that your chances of being put on a ventilator and having this level of severity of COVID that my buddy is going through, or my dear friends is going through, is slim to none. And I want to make a point of this because his wife said to me, because she was put into the ER because she had fought through COVID. COVID obviously didn't hit her as hard as it has hit her husband, but she fought through it. And because of his situation, she's been unable to eat, unable to drink. Obviously, the nerves and concern of where he is and as a business owner. They're amazing kids. They've got a beautiful family. And she got to a state, Scotty, where she had to be put into the ER because of dehydration and because of the state she was in. So they put her in the emergency room, and they were trying to take care of her. And when she came out of the emergency room, what she said to me was, Hance, please tell Russell's story. That's what she said.
Yeah.
They chose to not get vaccinated. She wished at that point, she wished more than anything that her and her family would have got vaccinated.
Yeah.
Because every medical professional that they've talked to said, we've not seen a vaccinated person to this state of emergency with COVID. Mm. So I'm with Scotty. Like, we want you to choose, and freedom of choice is very important to us in this country. But I want to tell a story that's important to me. I want to tell a story of something I've seen. And obviously it meant something to Governor Cox as well, because he mentioned it in his presser. And it's a powerful, impactful story. And I know Greg here at RGS was telling us a similar story of a friend of his. And we can get back to it because I don't want to take too much time on this, but it is important to me. And obviously me and my wife chose to be vaccinated. And my hope is that we can just continue towards health.
Yeah. So with that, Greg, we're going to tee up and talk a little exteriors, RGS exteriors. Love being out here. But here's the thing. We've been here a bunch of times. We've known Tim forever. And the guys down here, you and the others, it's like family. And you want to protect family. And when you go out and look at a house and stuff, you treat your customers like family too.
Oh, yeah, we do. We try to – it's more than a business here. And I've worked at a lot of different places where it's numbers and it's, you know, statistics. That's not the way it is here.
Yeah.
I enjoy working here because you know Tim and Tim, and it is a family business, and we take care of each other and we take care of our customers. That's how we stay in business. That's how we've been, you know, what a fifth generation company is, because we like to take care of everybody. It's more than business. It's, you know, taking care of your family and friends and neighbors.
That's how you stick around for as long as you've stuck around, and to get to be able to know the family a little bit, Tim and Tim Senior, and to get to know that family, you completely understand it. You know, these guys really are concerned about their customer. They'll go to great lengths to make sure that they feel well taken care of.
We do. And I said earlier that, you know, sometimes things go wrong. But that's the big difference with us, is when they do go wrong, we try everything we can. We'll go back out there until you're happy, because we want you to be happy. It's our reputation. It's our business. And we try to make sure everybody's taken care of.
I really wish that we could allow people to see the lengths that RGS Exteriors went to be the Hardy preferred installer. Because I was just talking with Tim, and Tim's like, all the training we went through and all the things that you guys go through as a team to be able to provide the highest level of service. I wish people could see what you guys do as far as learning all the different steps to properly install everything.
We do, and it's something that we've actually discussed with our customers quite often, is the way Hardy used to be installed has changed. Their installation guidelines change. We go to the Hardy conference almost yearly, if they have it. We're there to learn the installation techniques. The local rep around here, Chad, we have an intimate relationship with him. He's out to our jobs. We in contact him with him all the time to update training installation, how things need to be put on, how things need to be taken care of. It's a big part of why we are certified like we are, because we follow those techniques and guidelines.
Well, and the other thing too, as much as we love you coming on here and advertising with the Zone, the most dramatic advertising for good or bad is word of mouth. And if somebody out there does a poor job and doesn't do a good job, they tell their neighbors and their neighbors tell their neighbors, and it spreads like a Utah County MLM. So you have to be on top of it. And a lot of that James Hardy rating comes from positive feedback too.
It does. And we actually have independent company that'll call our customers, and we have nothing to do with them. They don't work for us, but they do call our customers and ask them, you know, how did we perform? How does your job look? Are you happy? And that's independent ratings. And that's part of how we get our status, is by a third party calling to check on us, basically see how people like their jobs.
Love it. Call RGS right now, whether it's rain gutters coming up for the fall, whether it's siding, whether it's James Hardy, whatever you're looking to do, let's make it happen. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110 right here on the Zone Sports Network.